Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Eric Wetterling, the Hedgeless Horseman, editor and founder of the hedgelesshorseman.com. We'll put a link to that down below this interview. And Eric, it's always great getting you on the show just to discuss the junior mining sector, how you invest in it as a value investor, and the way you're looking at the backdrop we have currently, where we've basically been in a two-year correction. Most of the mining stocks have sold off hard, but it seems like things have accelerated lately, really since the end of April, and especially it seems like in the last few weeks, we are seeing a lot of red on the screen. A lot of the stocks that were already cheap got cheaper. So at this point in time, a lot of people would probably say, hey, everybody that bought earlier than this was wrong. They bought too early. Maybe it's still too early. What would you say to those people that think that, you know, having been averaging down over the last few months was a mistake and that maybe we're in a longer downtrend? How would you respond to that kind of critique?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I see a lot of is like people use the last 2 years as evidence why you can't make money in mining juniors, etc. So they're looking at the past from where they, let's say they bought close to the highs. I mean, that's what most people do, even though they don't admit it. And I do too. So let's get that out of the way. It's like, yes, they use that as evidence how you can't make money in the junior sector. I'm looking at these absolute, I mean, no-brainer valuations just become more no-brainer. I'm looking at some of the proxy sentiment indicators I'm using. They're close. They're not far. They're like 26% from, you know, 20-year bottoms, etc. So this is extreme. I mean, everything, nobody would be stupid enough to go out and look for gold or any metal if these valuations were true, because they don't reflect it being worth to spend time and money to actually look for anything. So from just a logical standpoint, the valuations don't make sense, because if these made sense, we wouldn't have a mining sector. So everything is screaming that everything is extreme right now. So what's the worst case scenario? Let's say you have high quality juniors, 30, 40 of them cashed up, could last for at least a year, and they're probably, you know, burn some cash, create some added value, etc. So it's going to be worth more. What's the worst thing that can happen? They stay extremely cheap forever. Any other scenario where they don't stay extremely cheap, let's say for the next 2 years, at least, if something happens within the next 2 years, you wouldn't want to be selling right now. Because again, the other flip side of that is that basically that they stay cheap forever. Nobody wants to buy anything in the junior mining space. It makes absolutely no sense to not be bullish here from a risk reward basis. I'm looking at it as where we are right now, because I didn't know we would go this low. I didn't know it would get this extreme. It's like when I started buying in 2015, I thought I bought incredibly low, and I still went down 50% within the first 4 months of my investing career in the miners. So first of all, I have no idea when a bottom is in. I can just look at something as this is too cheap, and then it can become even cheaper as well. But starting from, if you enter this sector right now or whatever, if you had no past history of losing money on paper over the last 2 years, I would think you would look at the valuations like, wow, I haven't seen an opportunity to get in this cheap in a sector like this, you know, since 2015, 16, and the crash bottom of 2020. So where we are right now is, in my opinion, evidence how you can make money in the juniors. Because the shittier the past, the better the future. So it's like, and I see people say, you know, I'm down 50%. I mean, typically, I don't think there's people that have been around for very long. Again, probably bought the last high. And they look at 50% like it's some kind of big disaster. I don't know exactly what my total portfolio is down right now. Let's say it's 50%. That would be my fourth 50% correction just since 2015. And that has never been a problem. Why? Because when it bounces, if you're in, you know, above average quality juniors, 100% is going to be a piece of cake. I mean, just looking at Bear Creek Mining, when that bottomed in the flash crash, I don't own Bear Creek, but I think it's fun to look at. From bottom tick, within 48 hours, that stock was up 111%. 2 days it took to, if you had a 50% loss in that case, 2 days and you were neutral. So we forget about how quickly things can change, because the worst bear market bottom 2015-16, all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, after many false rally starts, let's say, all of a sudden it just turned. And then it just went higher for 8 months. And I remember my portfolio went from going down 50% to being up, I think, 300%. My units went up like 500-600% from the actual bottom tick. So where most people cry about being down 50%, in reality, when you look at history, you can look at many juniors. When they bottom to the next sentiment peak, they go up on average far more than 100% if they're around.
Yeah, Eric, I think that's so true. I mean, I distinctly remember that time period in 2015, moving into early 2016 in January. And I don't know that I was down a total of 50%, but it was close. It was in the high 40s. And then shortly thereafter, we have an 8 month run from January to August where so many stocks were up 3-bagger, 5-bagger, 8-bagger, 10-bagger. So it was interesting how quickly the tables turned. And most people that were negative at the bottom waited until those moves had happened or almost completed. A lot of people started getting in June and July of 2016, right before it topped in August. And the same thing happened during the flash crash that you mentioned. You used Bear Creek Mining, but I legitimately had, I think, about a 40-50% decline in my account at that period of time. And then within 1 year, basically, I was up 400%. And so the tables can turn so quickly. But I think that sentiment, by its nature, people are emotional, is just so much for people to handle at these kind of capitulation time periods. Do you think that we're getting closer, without prognosticating on the metals prices or anything like that, but just the sentiment readings you're looking at and having been in the space for as long as you have, do you think we're getting close to that period of time where most of the quote unquote dumb money is selling here and this is the time to be accumulating? Or do you think we could still see a couple more months of downside pain?
I'm literally open to anything. And that's why I don't try to predict. And I know most people want, everybody's after certainty. Are you sure this is the bottom? Are you sure this stock is going to go higher, et cetera? It's like, I don't try to guess anything except, there are two things I know at all times. The price I'm paying for something, which is, what the market cap is, where the shares are trade, and sentiment always changes. So I don't try to think about much else than, okay, what am I paying for this? And then, the sentiment always changes and you can look at, some sentiment indicators, et cetera. So I'm just, okay, if they are beyond nosebleed cheap right now, then, okay, I know sentiment must be absolutely atrocious because nobody in their right mind can come up with a bear case from a fundamental standpoint for many of these juniors. I haven't seen anyone actually say that I'm selling out because I think, I made a mistake by overpaying it. If you bought high, how does that get rectified by you selling low? It doesn't. So nobody's selling down here because they think they own something that should go down and stay down. So I'm thinking, okay, I think this has been increasingly disastrous sentiment-wise. Do I know when it's going to turn? Absolutely not. But I see the volumes in some of these juniors. I see some juniors move 20% on $1,000 market sell or market buy. So just think about that. When things change, which they 100% will, if you think it's hard to get 100% return, you have never been a part of a bottom before. Because I've seen it a couple of times before. And when they start to move and there's no sellers out there, if you throw $20,000 on some of these juniors, they'll move up a lot. And another thing is why can I afford to ride all these bottoms down from the tops? Why can I afford to have bought, let's say, absolute top tick in the juniors, for example? Because I always buy every bottom. That's how I can afford to have 50% corrections, because I'm always fully deployed, 100% long from whatever bottom comes my way. So if I go up 300%, then I go down 50%, then I will go up 300%, then down 50%. Of course, I'm going to make money. It's just that nobody's along from the bottom, pretty much. Everybody buys high, and then they always do the same thing. They sell low, and then they go and find another sector where they can buy high, and then conclude 2 years later when they bought high that I can't make money in this sector either. It's that you have to break that cycle of always going against, common knowledge or the wisdoms of a lot of people, like buy when there's blood in the streets. If your strategy was buy low, sell high, everybody's heard that. Everybody regurgitates that line. Nobody does it. So it's like now, due diligence. How much due diligence do you need to buy something where it has like 4 or 5 projects, cash in the bank, enterprise value 1 million? Do you really need to spend a week to figure out that that's low, that that's cheap? No, I don't think so. So dude, you don't need to be smart right now. This is not a period for heavy due diligence. This is just 95% common sense and fortitude, in my opinion.
Yeah, well said, Eric. And we always say on our site at the KE Report that people claim they want to buy low and sell high. But really what they do is they cry low and then they buy high. They do the exact opposite of what people say you should do. When it's low, they're whining. When it's high, they're starting to pile in because they think, oh, now I feel comfortable getting in. You should always buy when it feels most uncomfortable, when your stomach is turning, when you think, oh, gosh, like, is this really a time to be buying? I actually went and I messaged you yesterday that I finally believe these stocks are brain dead cheap, to quote you, the great Eric Wetterling. And I said, hey, I'm finally all in. I'm like 99% in as of yesterday because I just feel terrible buying. I can just tell that, like, this seems like the red's never going to stop. And in the past, that's always been the best time to have accumulated. I guess just maybe in just the last few minutes here, Eric, wrap us up with a couple that you have your eye on right now. If someone was to give you $10,000, $100,000, $1 million, what would maybe be one or two companies that have your eye, or two or three companies that you think look like an interesting value proposition here?
For the more risky words, for example, I mean, I know there's a lot of silver bugs out there. I haven't been too bullish on silver units because I think they have been relatively expensive compared to gold units, because for some reason, which we talked about sometime before, gold units are the price of silver, not the price of gold. So, okay. But right now it's like, okay, if you like silver, I think, for example, Dolly Warden is one of the, you know, more safe bets. They have gold and silver, high grade British Columbia underground. So pretty much pretty good from ESG reasons, I think, surrounded by a major owns a stake. They have a lot of cash. They're going to be doing a lot of drilling. So I like Dolly Warden for like the security blanket silver play. Then we've talked about, and we talked about this off mic, I-80. You cannot explain the valuation of I-80. Or at least if you tried, I mean, it would probably not make a lot of sense, because that's just another example of that calculation does not add up. When you look at everything they have, sunk cost infrastructure in a rising capex environment, the drill hits they have, the amount of projects they have, the jurisdiction they're in, it absolutely does not make any sense. And you've seen the CEO buy a lot. And then you have, you know, let's say more aggressive ones like Goliath out with news today. They hit, you know, every hole pretty much is hitting something. So they did a big step out hole again, and that hit mineralization. We don't know the assays, but it's like, yeah, that case is just going from, you know, encouraging news to encouraging news. It just keeps on going, which was the thesis all along. Obviously, nobody cares right now. But when that potential gets turned into, let's say, an inferred resource or something like that, I think, you know, some might get a shock, especially if this keeps up. And then, of course, I mean, like I talked about last episode, Snowline Gold. Encouraging. That's been doing well, and I'm not taking profits here. I know some are taking profits here. I really like that story. And there's just, I guess the thing is, like always, look where we are now price-wise. Compare that to next 12 to 24 months for, let's say, an aggressive junior or whatever. What's that going to be worth? What will they have done in the next 12 to 24 months? Compare that to the price you're paying today when nobody even gives these juniors credit for what they already have. So if they up their implied value by 200% within the next 2 years, and you're not even paying for what they have right now, for example, is there, you know, a reasonable chance that you'll make some money? Yeah, I think so.
Well, we'll wrap it up there, Eric. I think that's a couple of good ideas for investors to sink their teeth into, maybe do a little of their own due diligence. But again, there's so many quality companies, quality teams, quality projects selling at a fraction of what they were even a year or two ago. So like you said, it doesn't take that much due diligence. People should always research those things, feel comfortable, and take responsible for the investments that they decide to take a position in. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of I-80 Gold and Dolly Varden that you mentioned. Are there any companies, Eric, that you have a position in or are sponsor companies?
I own shares of all companies mentioned, and Goliath and Dolly are sponsors. And just to, on your points, like, yes, everything is cheap right now. So it's like, if there was ever a time where I think you can afford yourself heavy diversification, that's right now. Because I want to make sure that when the ebb goes to a tide, I want to be there. So the more diversified I am, the higher the likelihood that I will be a part of that way. Because if I have the best company, the best junior I know in the world, and bet 100% on that, since nothing is guaranteed, and we see that all the time, stuff that you don't even know could go wrong, can go wrong. So then you might end up with being right on everything pretty much, but you went all in on one story and a black swan happened and you lost out. So it's like due diligence, sure. Diversification, that's just, in my opinion, a good idea right now, because again, we don't know how the capital markets or any project is going to go, etc. So I personally would encourage, which I haven't done many times, I really like diversification right now.
I think that's a great point to end it on, Eric, because it's not just about getting those fantastic returns. It's about getting risk-adjusted returns and making sure you're managing the risk. And diversification is one tool in the arsenal to do that, especially in this kind of environment. So always appreciate you coming on the KE Report, sir, and sharing your thoughts with us, Eric. If people like Eric's thoughts, definitely click on the link below to go to the HedgelessHorseman.com website, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Sean. Have a great day.